The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download The Fan app.
All right, let me bring in the Hall of Famer. He was on TV last night. He's going to be on TV next week. He's going to be a part of that player-only broadcast team again, which is going to be awesome. And he's kind enough to join us on the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker line. He's Chipper Jones, the Hall of Famer. Chip, we appreciate the time. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. I want to play along with this Cousins thing as
all right,
well.
Let's do it. Everybody else has an opinion, so let me back up. All right, let's start at the beginning. If I told you Kirk Cousins over under on playoff appearances, I set it at 1.5. You go over under.
I'm gonna go over.
So you think they make the playoffs twice with Cousins while he's here?
I do.
Okay, double digit winning seasons. I think we're gonna see where this is going. I set it at 0.5 over under with Cousins.
Go over.
Wow, Chipper is on board. All right. Division titles. I'll set it again at 0.5 with Cousins as quarterback.
Over.
Cousins. I mean, Chipper's on the Cousins train. Look at this. Kirk Cousins starts, including playoff games, set it at 29.5.
Under.
Wait a minute. Hold on. You got all these other, like, these are all happening, and he only starts 28 games. All right.
I'm flipping a coin over here, buddy.
I am, too. I know. I'm with you. And I'm like, you know this, right? He's 36 next season to be 37 the year after. The body just doesn't do the same things anymore.
Look. Here's what I'm hoping. The division is so bad that we have it clinched so early that the young pup gets some burn at the end of the season a couple of years in a row.
I like the way you think. I like it. I also liked your stuff on TV last night. You happened to be in the booth while Kelnick hit that home run. And right after he hit the home run, you said something about his swing that you would love to talk to him about being on a more northern plane. And it sounds elementary, but there's got to be more to it. Explain to me what you were talking about with Kelnick and what you want to see out of him.
Yeah, and it's something that I'll probably explain more on the telecast when we do it. I'm a big swing north guy. And what I mean by swing north, dead center field is north. In Kelenic's case, swinging east would be to the pull side. In Austin Riley's case, swinging west would be to the pull side. So swinging north does two things. It allows the ball to travel, and it automatically keeps you inside of the baseball. I feel like whenever Jared gets a little rotational, where he tries to pull, he starts to hook balls. What we look for as hitters is we try and let the ball get deep, and we try and get backspin so that the ball carries out of the ballpark. Sometimes when we pull, and I was as guilty of this as anybody when I played, when I tried to pull the ball, I hooked the ball, which means I come out and around it, and the ball has top spin, which is the opposite of what we want. And I see a lot of that with Jared, and I think if I could get him to get the feel of swinging north and letting the ball travel and putting backspin on, he does it in batting practice, you know, quite often. But as we both know, you know, through the years we've seen with Andrew and with Dan Ugla, you know, they can do it great during batting practice, but then they start trying to hook the ball around the left field foul pole, you know, during the game, and all their mechanics kind of go out the window.
Chipper, last night the Boston rotation came into the game with the best earned run average in all of Major League Baseball, 2.10. That same staff dead last in Major League Baseball in terms of percentage of fastballs thrown. Have the Red Sox just done something where they're thinking outside the box here, or has a generation of young hitters just gotten really good at hitting the four-seam fastball?
Well, I'm not sure that they have a ton of guys who throw the ball 97, 98, 100 miles an hour. So I think if you had four-seam spin like, say, what you just saw in Los Angeles and Seattle, where you had a ton of guys that threw from 96 to 100 miles an hour with high spin rates, where it was actually playing up to probably 102, 103, it might be different. You know, the guy last night, he wasn't overpowering. He didn't have an overpowering fastball. So why throw it straight? You know, I think if you can sink it and cut it, you can have every bit the success that you can with a high spin rate four seam fastball, as long as you locate it. And the kid pitched very well, I thought. Other than the mistake to Kelenic, I thought he was, you know, he was very good. Pivetta tonight, again, doesn't throw the ball 100, but he's going to cut it. He does have a four seamer, but he's got a tremendous hook, you know. So it's. I tell you what, I've talked to a bunch of the guys yesterday, and we've run into three or four pitching staffs in a row, Cleveland, Milwaukee, L.A., and now Boston. They're all in the top 10 in pitching through the first 5 or 6 weeks of the season. And, you know, especially in a guy like Olsen's case, he's gotten pitched like Ted Williams. I mean, every ball is on the corner. He's always 0-2. He might get one pitch to hit during the course of the at-bat, and he's missing it. And that is a tremendous recipe for a 1-for-25.
The Hall of Famer Chipper Jones with Chuck and Chernoff on The Fan. I want to ask you about Olsen in a minute, but let's talk about Acuna. What are you seeing in him where he's swinging through a bunch of fastballs, and what adjustments have pitchers made compared to a year ago where it just didn't seem, A, he was swinging and missing a ton, and that he wasn't chasing in situations where he was even behind in the count?
He's long to the baseball right now. I was talking to Seitz yesterday, and I go, he just looks – his bat looks slow to me. And he's – you know, he – instead of getting into his load where he cocks his bat and goes straight to the baseball, he's coming – what I was talking about earlier about Kelenic coming out and around, which makes him long to the baseball, which makes him – in the worst possible spot we are as hitters, meaning behind the fastball and ahead of the breaking ball. And you saw it last night. He did get a base hit, but it was a swinging bunt down the third baseline on an off-speed pitch that he was out in front of. And he's just he's a little long. He's starting to swing back behind instead of being short, quick to the ball. And consequently, whenever you have a long swing and a slow swing, you have to start earlier, which means your chase rate and your strikeouts are going to go way, way up. And that's what you're seeing with Ronald Acuna right now. So we just got to shorten him up, get him, you know, just get him to center of the baseball, you know, to the north, and you'll see him take off.
What about Riley and Olsen? If you look at their barrel rate, exit velocity, it seems like both of them are just due for a correction.
Yeah, I think the market is soon to correct itself. I think that's pretty accurate. I think Austin certainly had his struggles about two or three weeks ago, where you know there was a lot of leaking with his front side. We worked so hard to try and get him to hit the ball at the State Farm sign and right center field just to change his sights, let the ball travel. And every once in a while when he gets in trouble, he leaks towards the shortstop, meaning he steps towards the shortstop, and he'll miss some of those fastballs and sliders on the outside corner off the end of the bat. When he's, you know, stepping, you know, more towards the pitcher, more towards second base, and he lets the ball travel, that's when you see him really start to take off. He's really barreled some balls to the opposite field in the last few games. So I see the market correcting with him. You know, Ole is such an enigma because his swing is so different from other people's. I mean, a lot of people could say that about Freddie Freeman as well. It's not what you would teach, but it works for him. He's got really long levers. He's got a lot of moving parts. And sometimes his peaks and valleys are a little more drastic than we would like. Obviously, we saw the really, really good Matt Olson last year and setting career highs and basically everything. But he's really scuffling to get everything timed up right now. But I can promise you this, when these three fellas that we've been talking about, get it going, and they will get it going, somebody's going to pay. And, it's going to be, pretty fun to watch as a Braves fan when they kick it in high gear.
Chip, I feel like we always ask you about the guys who aren't going. So let me ask you about Ozuna, which it continues to be just shocking to me that like a year ago in April, there might not have been a worst hitter in the game. And it wasn't like, you know, market correction for Olsen or Riley where, well, Ozuna was squaring stuff up and his exit velo was great and his barrel. No, none of it was good. He was just, he looked lost at the plate. And now we're going on about a calendar year of the next 5 months and then the beginning of April where it's like, I don't know that there are 10 more productive hitters in the game. Explain it to me.
He is one of those guys that the whole swing north phrase really hit home with him. Last year in spring training, he couldn't hit a ball out of the infield. It was unbelievable. We were all perplexed. I mean, he would hit a ground ball with the exit velo of 48 to third base. He would, you know, get blown up and have a 39-mile-an-hour exit velo, you know, broken bat to the second base. It was gross was what it was. And then all of a sudden, you know, I told him, I'm like, I want you to hit the ball through the center field wall every single swing in batting practice. And then all of a sudden, a couple line drives up the middle. You know, then a couple line outs to center. Now he's knocking down the center field wall, and you don't really see him hit the ball to straightaway left anymore. You know, where he's really pulling off the ball and whatnot. And I always tell hitters this when I first get with them. I go, if I give you 10 pitches down the middle in batting practice and you try and hook them around the left field foul pole, how many are you going to absolutely square up? And most people say probably 3, 4, maybe 5. And I go, okay, now I give you 10 pitches down the middle and I tell you to knock down the center field wall. How many are you going to center? Most of them say 8, 9. And I go, okay, well, why would your approach in the game be any different? You know? So it's that kind of mindset that we just try and instill in the guys to play to the big part of the field because that's the best way to center the baseball. And Marcel, since he started swinging north, has just been on fire.
Chipper, last night the Red Sox certainly had their opportunities in this game, left 13 runners on base, 1-for-14 with runners in scoring position. The Braves made situational plays defensively. The bullpen did a great job. As a hitter, as a unit, offense, how frustrating is a night like that? And it seems like it could go one of two ways the next day. Continue, or you break out it with a big bang.
Yeah, it's you feel a responsibility, especially hitting in the middle of the lineup, to when your pitcher goes out there and busts his rear end to keep you in the game and give you a great start. He comes out of the bullpen breathing fire that night. You put a lot of pressure on yourself to do that. When you go 1-for-13 or 14, whatever they were last night, with runners in scoring position, you feel responsible for that loss. And I know the Braves offense has had plenty of that in the last, you know, week or so as well. But, you know, coming in, the Red Sox are, what's their record? Are they 500?
They were 19-16. Under? Yeah, 3 games over coming in last night.
Okay, so they're 3 games over. That's with the best pitching staff through the first 5 or 6 weeks of the season, they should be better than 19-16. So they're having some trouble scoring runs consistently. They don't have really, other than Devers, who's hitting second in a lineup, they really don't have a guy that like jumps up and scares you, you know? Those run producers, those guys that were hitting behind Devers in the last couple of years, they're not there anymore. You know, I mean, they got a pretty good 1-2 punch at the top, but there's not a lot of clutch or sock behind them. So I think that they're going to need to pitch the way they've been pitching because they don't have those guys that are going to go out and give you 120, 130 RBIs in a year.
Chip, as we let you go here, so the all former player booth is going to be once again Frenchie, Glav, and Chipper, but no Smoltz, he's too busy, Mr. National guy. So Brian McCann's going to move in here. So a year ago, all the pressure was on Glavin, who, I mean, I love Tom, and we have him on the show every week, but he failed spectacularly before he got the home run call right? And there's the pressure involved in that. So how much do you think Mac is preparing? Like, are you going to be in his corner? Are you going to be playing defense actively against him? What's that going to be like for Mac in that spot?
Yeah, I mean, I think we have to haze him somewhat as the newcomer, the rookie of the crew. I would expect some sort of gift, maybe like a margarita machine there in the booth that you know, the guys can. I mean, if we're doing Harry Carey imitations by the third inning, I think you'll know he got it right. No, Mac's gonna do great. You know, I'm a little nervous because, you know, Smoltz sucked up so much air, like I said last night on the telecast, that now Frenchie's gonna feel like he needs to soak up all that time, and we all know how that can go. I really need Brandon. I would love for Brandon to be there to get us in and out of commercials, because that was you know, that was a little awkward from time to time.
But that's the point,
we're
right?
We're going to have a blast.
You're like, that's the thing. That's my favorite part, is you guys not knowing how to stick the landing, right? Going out, like, the third out is just made. Four guys looking at each other, and nobody says, 4-3 Braves, top of the fifth. They just, like, wait. And sometimes you guys went to break with nobody saying anything.
Nothing. And
awesome.
Finally, in Glav's defense, finally I nudged him, and I go, "You got to get us in and out of commercials." And he finally started doing it.
Can't wait.
I feel like this one will be a little better. We'll see.
Put Mac in charge of that. There's your hazing, Mac. You got to get us in and out of break and handle that one. Chip, it's always a pleasure. Could listen to you talk hitting forever. Great stuff as always. We'll talk to you down the road.
All right, guys. Y'all be good.
Appreciate it very much. There's Chipper Jones, the Hall of Famer, on the Hobson and Hobson Newsmaker line. That should be fun on Wednesday night.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM, or download the Fan app. The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Blue here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Camp Margaritaville RV Resort, where you can just breathe in and breathe out. Or move. There's biking, boating, arcade games, hiking, nearby golfing. Or fly through the new Fins Up Water Park. Thrills, chills, twists, and turns. This could be you. Camp Margaritaville at Lanier Islands, an easy one-hour drive from Atlanta. Book your stay today at CampMargaritavilleLanierIslands.com.